just to reiterate, and I hope you can get that video out of your mind like I'm working on for the missions dinner. That was so funny. But that's next Friday night, and what a great cause it is. And in fact, this is the last Sunday of the month, which we always receive our missions offering on this last Sunday. So at the end of the service, we will do that. And this month's offering, you heard Alex in the announcement say that the Todds are going to be here from World Missions Alliance. They had sent out a note this week about the trip to Indonesia that is happening, and that it's the time now to buy Bibles. And for the last maybe 2 years, every time we've had one of ours go to a particular country, we've always sent along with them or ahead of them money to buy Bibles. So Bibles are $6 that are translated into their language there. Indonesia is the largest Muslim populated country in the world, but the gospel is opened up there. So I just want to ask you today, even as I'm speaking here for a few minutes, if you'll pray as what God would have you to do, if you'd buy one Bible, maybe some of you would buy 10, others maybe 100 that we could send along, and you'll be responsible for putting one of those Bibles into a person's hand that has never had or received the Word of God. And 100% of everything that we give, you know, and I told the Todds, because we've been affiliated with organizations, and I know there's cost involved in everything, but they are incredibly integrous when it comes to the money that they receive going for what it's for. And 100% of what we give this morning will go to buy a Bible to put in the hands of somebody that doesn't know Christ in Indonesia. Now, I think that's pretty awesome. I hope you do too this morning, don't you? Isn't that great? Amen. Father, thank you for what you've already done. God, I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in this house today. I will see there are over 60 people that have given their lives to you, have made a decision to make it public today. God, I want to just thank you. I thank you for incredible overflow in their lives and favor upon their lives. And each one that is here today, I pray, God, for some that are here that have been hurt, that you would heal that part of their life. And that when they leave here today, God, they'll know you're a good God. You're not mean, as some have demonstrated to them. You're not vindictive. You're not hateful. But you're a good, good Father. God, I pray that you would open up every heart and every life here to be everything that you have called us to be today. We love you. We trust you now. In Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. If you have your Bible and you'd like to look at a verse of scripture with me this morning out of Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to read it from verse 6 through 8 out of the New International Version this morning. And I just want to tell you that I believe that we are in a great time, and it is our time, and that one of the truths that we can't always just physically see, but is always there, and also that the enemy tries to cloud in our lives and belittle the reality of its truth, is that God loves us where we are, and that he has a great plan for our lives. He takes you in whatever place you're in your life at a certain time, at a certain moment, and he showers upon you his love when you make a decision to make him first in your life, when you make him Lord and Savior. And it's not a prerequisite that you do everything right the day that you're saved, but he loves you right where you are. And that love draws you into a deeper and a greater relationship with him, that you trust him with your life and that you give him more of it, because you know he is not an abusive God. He is not a vindictive God. He is not out to hurt you or to limit you. He's out to love you, bless you, and lift you from where you are and take you farther than you've ever been before. That's the God that we serve. And Paul says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, he said, you see, at just the right time, and I love that, at just the right time, when we were still powerless. The word there, that word powerless means to be sick, weak, feeble. It means to be without strength. At just the right time, when we were powerless, King James says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The ones that had no intention, didn't know him. Some of you are here today, and there was a time in your life that if somebody was to say, you'd be sitting in a seat in a church at 8:30 in the morning, you would have told them they are out of their mind. But because of God working in your life, because at the right time, he touched you, he laid his hand upon you for a purpose and a plan. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, he drew you to himself, and he's beginning to change who you are as a person. And the scripture goes on to say in verse 7, very, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God, listen to this in verse 8, he demonstrated his own love for us in this. This is how he gives and shows his love. While you were lost, while you were in sin, while you were hanging out with the wrong crowd, doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, at the darkest part of your life and of mine, he died for you. Christ died for us. Listen, if I didn't say another thing today, that ought to make you excited enough that you could walk on water yourself today. You could fly out of here. You're so excited. Because while you were in the worst form of your life, and before anyone thinks that they were just born into this world perfect, the Bible says that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. Did you know that when you were released into this earth, you were released into the world as a sinner? I dedicated babies last week. They're beautiful. They're dressed in white. They got everything and all the parents and the grandparents and all the cousins and everything. They're oohing and ahhing, and you're taking pictures and looking at them, but they are sinners. Born into this world with a touch of darkness in their life. And the only thing that can redeem them from them is the love of God. And God loves them. Aren't you glad he does? And he loves you. Because God didn't just die for nice people. He died for the rebels, the outcasts. He died for the troublemakers. I know we have some troublemakers in here. They used to be troublemakers. Let me just say it that way. You used to be a troublemaker. And he tells us in Jude 21, he says that we must keep ourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. You got to keep yourself in that love. You are called not only to receive that love, but to give that love. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3 and verse 5 says, may the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Today, he is moving you closer. It's one of the most beautiful things about coming to the house of God together, that we get to see and experience corporately how God is changing and working in a person's life. And he says to you and I, he says, direct your hearts. Move them in the direction of God's love. Move them into a place that you not only know that God loves you and he loved you in a dark time, but he wants you to emanate that love. And sometimes we have a hard time believing this because of the hardships that we are in or that we have gone through. Families that have hurt us, people that have hurt us, individuals that have tried to tear us down. And this is what the enemy will constantly bring up to you and remind you of. Yeah, he loves you, but, and there's no buts here. I used to tell my oldest son, Ben, when he was little, I used to correct him, and he always say, but daddy. I say, Benny, no more buts. Daddy. No buts. Maybe part of your past the enemy wants to continually bring up and remind you of. But it's the love of God that makes it possible for each one of us even to exist here. And his great love for you and I are shown in so many different ways. And it wasn't just that he came. And it wasn't just because he's done all these great miracles that he's still doing today. But it was because he has loved you and I. Because while we were yet sinners, he showed his love to you and I. I love this. Verse 6, it says, at the right time, when we were powerless, he died for the ungodly. Thank God for that. He died for the wicked, for the sinner. While he was on the cross, he told his Father God, look, Father God, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. And the entire wrath of God against sin was poured on him that day. That's why I'm just so excited about this water baptism today, because these people have made a decision, as you and I have, to give their lives wholly over to Christ. That God had snatched many of them from a variety of backgrounds. And it doesn't matter, really, I want you to understand this. Some people, they've been great people in the world's eyes all their lives, and others have, man, they've been through just tragedy after tragedy, tragedy. And God loves them both the same, and he redeems us both the same. And God says that in you, he looks at you. He looks at you in our brokenness, in our hurt, and he says, at the right time, he died. Then he goes on to say that we must keep ourselves in this love. That's easier said than done. Because without this element in our life, what we do becomes dry, it becomes empty, it just becomes mechanical. We do things because we think others want us to do it. But I found out that when we keep the love of God in our lives, it keeps us moving in joy, and it keeps us moving with purpose, and it keeps us moving with a greater perspective of who he is and what he has done for us. And some of us, we need to kickstart that in our lives, to get a greater flow of that going into us, and to show the love of God, even when it's not easy, to embrace the love and to share his love. It's not only, for some of you, hard to accept that he really loves you. You can't share his love until you receive his love. Are you with me on that? So how do we do it? I got just a couple thoughts for you. Number one, you have to learn to commit to one another. 1 John 3:16 says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. And this is when we really know it. This is when we know something is happening, and that is when we show it. Because love kind of sometimes comes in a two-part idea. He says, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And then he says that we ought to lay down our lives for others. But you can't do that unless you're committed to people. And commitment isn't easy. People run from it. When you say the word commitment, people say, oh, not me. I can't do that right now. But if you're going to share with the love of God and share whose God love is, you're going to learn to commit to other people. And brothers and sisters, this does not mean that you're going to get your own way all the time. And it's easy always to commit to somebody that you like. But how about when God asks you and I to make a commitment to somebody we particularly don't care for? Now, I know you're sitting there thinking, well, God would not do that to me. That's the pastor's job. No, that's all of our jobs. If we're going to show the love of Christ, we are going to be committed to people that have no intention of loving us back. And do you know something that I found out over a little bit of time? That when I love people that have no intention of loving me back, when I show the love of God, something touches their life that is powerful. You can't see it. You can't even understand it. But all of a sudden, I see right before my eyes, their hearts change. And they not only begin to receive the love, but they also begin to be transformed by the love of God. You have to do that. It's not easy sometimes, showing the real love of God by reaching out to someone who maybe has hurt you in the past, someone who has talked negatively about you, someone who has tried to put you down or even put you out. And there's something in me that I just love that part of God. I've told that story several times where when we first came into the town pastoring, I had some people that were just upset at me, and guy in particular telling me, you can't do that. You don't have a certificate. You haven't graduated from Bible college. You can't do that. And I'm like, okay. I'm not doing it, I guess. God is doing something. And just tried to do everything he could to hurt me until one day I got a call from an attorney saying, hey, I need your help. So-and-so is in trouble at their church. And they asked me to ask you if you'd help them. Now, I got to tell you, the first natural response that came across my mind was, tell them to go jump in a deep lake with a weight tied around their feet. That was just my natural response. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and said, absolutely, I'd love to help them. And you know what? When you put yourself in the place where you have no way out, guess what? God uses you and he gives you great grace. And I'll never forget the day that they all came to my office. And I'm sitting there, I'm wondering, I'm just like, God, stop time for a minute. And can I just ask you, how in the world did you work all of this out right now? And I'm looking around at people. They're saying bad things. I mean, and here I am sitting at a table. I'm just drinking my Starbucks thinking, it wasn't long ago you were talking this way about me. Now I got to help you. I'm thinking, come on, Jesus, this isn't fair. Let them feel a little bit of flame and a little bit of fire before you redeem them. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm, okay, you know, let's pray and let's ask the Lord. I'm just doing the stuff that, unfortunately, I did not learn in Bible college. Praise the Lord, because I didn't have the opportunity to go, and I would have loved to go. But guess what? The Lord will fill you and use you in times that you don't even realize. And God worked a great miracle, and everybody left hugging one another and blessing the Lord and thankful and happy. And I shut the door after that, and I said, I just paused. I looked up towards heaven, and I said, God, you're just too cool. You are just too awesome. And he'll do that in your life. When you make a commitment to commit, he'll let the love of God flow through you like you can't even imagine. And he'll use you in a situation like that. Come on today. Number two, you got to learn to accept one another. In Romans 15:7, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. We have to learn to accept one another. Just sometimes the way they are. Because if Christ could have accepted you as rotten as you were, he can accept others. God demonstrated his own love towards us that while you and I were yet sinners, he accepted us. People sometimes can't accept and forget where others have been in their life. But if you're going to let the love of God move in and through you, and if you're going to experience it, you're going to share it, and you're going to learn this principle. You and I have to accept. I accept people and I love them, but I don't expect them that they're going to stay the way that they are all the time. I want to see them grow and learn and become all that God wants them to be. But they'll never get there if we don't accept them. 1 John 4:8-9 says, He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Everybody say that. God is love. Is love. Say it again. God is love. And then this love of God was manifested towards us that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might, what? Live through him. Third, we have to learn to serve one another. This is so important. Galatians 5:13. Through love, we serve one another. Human nature thinks that if I do an act of service to another, that they owe me now something. That's not God's love. You give with nothing, no expectation in return. Hear me now. This would help a lot of marriages today. It would help a lot of people. You say, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, put yourself in a place where you can serve someone and they don't even know that you are the one serving and blessing them. And when you do that and you practice that nature in you, it'll conquer that selfishness. I was trying to think of something nice, but it's selfishness. When you do that, it helps conquer that attitude in your life. Because the flesh wants what it wants. But when we, through love, serve one another, we conquer the flesh. Sometimes we want to do things and we just want people to know that was from us. Sometimes when we pray for somebody and you hear a good report, we want to call them up and say, I was praying for you. Like, if I hadn't prayed for you, you wouldn't have been healed, or you wouldn't have got that job, or you wouldn't have been able to get along with your husband or your wife, or your kids would say, I prayed for you. And God says, no, we serve one another through love. We don't do things in order to get a response from people. We do it in order to get a response from God. Amen. He forgives sin. He cleanses the broken. But he can't penetrate the prideful lust in a person that thinks they can do it all in their own strength. We need to learn to serve one another. When we serve, we show the great love of God. Four, have tolerance with each other. This is huge. Ephesians 4:2 says, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. Bearing. Now, I'm not talking about political tolerance here. I'm talking about to control myself when the line has been crossed in my life and I want to just say to somebody, that's it. I'm done with you. Finished. I'm not going to let you talk that way or act that way or do whatever. But the reality of it is, brothers and sisters, we grow when we show forbearance, when we have patience. Patience. And he also, during this time, in this season in our life, when we have this and when we practice this, he delivers you and I from the position that we need to fix people and set them straight, or else we take vengeance if they don't change. Move past that. Let God do what he can do. Let the peace of God rule in your heart and in the heart of the other person by just having some forbearance. I've had a nickel every time I took a phone call and my wife says, oh yeah, they call you every time they're in trouble. And you know, she's just saying that to protect me. But I said, honey, you know, we got to love people. And she sees it from a spouse's view that sometimes I do get taken advantage of. And you know what? If you're going to show love and have forbearance to others, guess what? Look at your neighbor and says, you'll get taken advantage of. Come on. You will. But that's the will of God. God will never take advantage of you. He'll show you favor. He'll show you love. And I always say sometimes to my wife when we're blessed and doing something that maybe others can't do, and I said, boy, honey, hasn't the Lord really blessed us? She goes, yes. And she kind of gets reset in that mindset again. Yes, he has. Oh, he's done great things, and he will for you and as well when you have forbearance. Honey, you have forbearance for me right now? Good. Last, showing kindness to each other. Boy, this is a big one. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving, even as God in Christ forgave you. We're kind because he was kind to us. And do you know that kindness is a byproduct of great love? You may say you love somebody, but without kindness, you really can't demonstrate what that is. It's nothing more than empty words. Kind is virtuous. It's good. It's benevolent. And Jesus says in Luke 6:35, he says, look at this, love who? Your enemies. Love them. Do good. Lend, hoping for nothing in return. Here it is. Here's the love of God. That when you do this, you don't do it to get something back. Listen, let God crucify that in you today. If you're a spouse in a household and you're getting mad at your spouse because, you know, you're doing this and you think they should do that, you're all upset, let that go. Do good, lend, and hope for nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the unthankful, and even to the evil. Sometimes I'm challenged in this. Sometimes this is very difficult. It's very difficult for us to do that. Romans 2:4 says, "Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance?" That when we're kind, it moves us towards this love that God wants to show us. And it leads us towards an attitude of repentance in our own life. It helps you and I to see the lack and the inequality that is dwelling inside of us. And God just wants to help you and I to be that love and to show that love to one another. And the hardest thing to do is, I hear all the time, you got to love. And they've never had anybody hurt them to know how and what real love is. Let me tell you something. You'll know what real love is when God calls you to love somebody and do something for someone that has hurt you in a deep way. And when you do that, he takes you to a position of knowing him like you have never known him before. It's your time. It's your time to do that. Hallelujah. I just want you to close your eyes and bow your head just for a moment. Maybe even the Lord showing you someone right now. I'm not telling you that you got to leave here today and run over and throw your arms around them. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am talking about is you can lay aside the misery that comes across your thought process when you even think of the person. That you don't have to go the other way if you see them somewhere. You don't have to hide out from them. The love of God is working in so much a part of your life that you're stepping into a dimension where now you're free and you know he is in you and you're in him. And he's working all things out for his glory and for his honor. Hallelujah. I just want to pray for you right now. I want to ask God to do something wonderful in your life. If you've never given him your heart, never made him Lord of your life, you need to do that. You can do it right where you're at. Just say, "God, forgive me of my sin. I ask you to be my Savior, my Lord, my Master." His Holy Spirit will begin to come in and work in you. For some of you, there's a real challenge when we talk about loving others. You say, "Well, I was never loved. How can I give it?" When Christ lives in you, he changes you. He changes that. And I pray, God, that you will touch every life, every heart here today, and that you would allow your great blessing to be their portion. Let the love of God dwell richly in every heart, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. I want to receive that offering for the missions. Ushers, come on with the offering buckets. You can make a check out, whatever, right to the city church. You can use the push pay. Anything you want to do, we're going to do that in a hurry. Ushers, but when you take, come on down. When you receive that offering, make sure everybody has an opportunity to put something in that bucket. We don't want anybody to miss out on being used greatly of God today. Father, thank you for your grace and your love in this house today. May you use this to bless your kingdom in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. God bless you today. As you give, go ahead, ushers, wait on everyone. Aaron, I want you to come down here. Just stand up front. Honey, I want you to come and stand up front. If you need prayer for anything before you leave today, come on up. Aaron and Patty will be down here. They'll love to pray for you this morning before you leave. I love you. God bless you so much today.